Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word, so that our faith will grow and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done, what he has accomplished. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only understand and believe your word, but we will also obey your word. We thank you and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let us look at the story of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin at verse 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. Our Lord Jesus Christ is tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. The first of all, notice that when he was tempted, Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit and was led around by the Holy Spirit. He is not being tempted for his wrongdoings. He is not being tempted for his sins. And despite he is full of the Holy Spirit, he is tempted. He is led by the Spirit as he is tempted. So just because you're tempted out there doesn't mean God is not with you, even though it might be that you are full of the Holy Spirit, but you will still be tempted. And Jesus is tempted by the devil, the Satan. He is tempted by the devil as the Messiah, as the representative of his people, as that God-man. We have to remember that he is not being tempted by the devil as the eternal God. James chapter 1 verse 13b, "For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." The word "the wilderness" and the number 40 remind us of the Israelites in the wilderness, doesn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 3, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years." God is speaking to Israelites. that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by alone. That he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Our God has tested the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. God gave them the manna so that they may know that man does not live by the bread of this world alone, but man lives by the word of God. In the first temptation, our Lord Jesus Christ, looking at that temptation, we see that Jesus is tempted by the devil with the same test that the Israelites were tested in the wilderness. The Israelites of the Old Testament, well, they were the sons of God. God calls them his son in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. But as the sons of God, the Israelites completely failed the test in the wilderness. But in our passage, we see Jesus Christ as the true Son of God completely triumphs over all the temptations. We must remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is triumphing over all these temptations as our representative. He is doing this in our places. Thus, before we begin looking at these temptations, you gotta remember, his victory is our victory. Luke chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, "And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God." Devil here is not denying that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows. What he is saying is that if Jesus is the Son of God, then why all this suffering? Why be hungry? That's what he's coming at. And we need to think about this. Why is it wrong to change a stone to bread when you're hungry and when you have power to do so? But Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. The background for that verse is the wilderness life of the Israelites. God gave them manna so that they would not have to worry about what to eat, so that they would be able to focus on what is really important, so that they would not have to focus on the worldly things, but on God. That's why God gave them manna. But because they were so sinful and greedy, that they made manna itself as the focus of their lives. We see the same thing today. So many so-called Christians. God says, don't worry about what to eat. Meaning that God will give all that to us so that we may focus on God, but we make that food and the things of this world the focus. Nothing has changed that much. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 through 31, "And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." But we do not trust God. What is the purpose of our lives? You ask yourself that question. What is purpose of your life? Is it possessing something better in this world? Is it fulfilling our desires of our flesh with all the good things of this world? Is it the success of this sinful world? Is that our purpose? John chapter 6, verse 27a, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. And that food is true manna, our Lord Jesus Christ. The true meaning of our lives are not in the eating and drinking according to the desires of our flesh. Do we truly die if we don't have the food of this world? Oh yeah, we might die physically, but is it true death? John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says. You got to understand, we truly die forever without the Word of God. The daily food. God has promised to give that to us. And we must trust Him. Like Jesus, the true food for us is to do God's will. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of God who sent me and to accomplish His work. This is life for us. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 through 8, And He led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. Jesus answered him, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. You see, Jesus came to fulfill the kingdom of God. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, God says to Messiah, Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very end of the earth as your possession. Daniel chapter 4, verse 14, And to him was given dominion, glory, and kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. But through the New Testament, we know that the kingdom that our Lord Jesus establishes is not the kingdom of this world. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. And because of sin of His people, Jesus Christ must establish His kingdom through His sufferings, His death, and His resurrection. But in the temptation that we are looking at, Jesus is offered, Satan offers Jesus the kingdom of this world. Satan offers Jesus the kingdom without sufferings and death. What Satan is saying to Jesus is that, why you want to suffer? I'll give you kingdom. You don't have to suffer for the kingdom that I could give it to you. In fact, Satan is saying, Why choose the way of suffering and death? Why the cross? Just worship me. I will give you the kingdom. I will give you the kingdom without the cross. I will give you the kingdom of this world. Just bow down and worship me. Trust me, follow me and worship me. I will give all the kingdoms of this world and all of their glory. I want you to understand something. Throughout the Bible, if you read it very carefully, it is Satan who offers you this world. God never does. Only thing concerning of the world that God says is that don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. I'll give you those. Jesus offers you the other world, heaven. Satan is the one who offers you this world. So you need to be very careful that if a church says that Jesus will give you this world if you do this or that, you need to recognize whose voice is that. It's not our God. It is Satan who offers this world to you. What Jesus promises you is that He will give you daily bread. You know, daily bread, just enough so you could survive that day. But He always gives us more than that. And He also promises you sufferings and persecution because of Christ. When you hear God's word being preached, you ask yourself, am I hearing the voice of my Father? If it is not your Father's voice, then walk away. Satan says, I will give you the kingdom. And what does the Bible say about Satan? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 says he's prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, he is the god of this world. John chapter 12 verse 31, John chapter 14 verse 30, John chapter 16 verse 11, he is the ruler of this world. Revelation chapter 13 verse 2, the beast. Revelation chapter 13 verse 7, it was given to him, to Satan, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. God gives the Satan, temporarily of course, until the final judgment, the authority over this world. And Satan must exercise that authority under the permission of our God. Satan always mimics God. That's all he could do. He doesn't have, you know, the almighty power that God has, but he mimics it. Satan offered to Adam in Genesis, Satan offered to Adam the way to be like God through sinning against God. He says, if you eat this fruit, you're sinning against God, but you're going to be like God. But that's exactly what God wants for us. Ultimately, we're going to be like Jesus Christ. But Satan offers to Adam the way to be like God through sinning against God, and he does the same thing here. Satan offers Jesus the way to possess the kingdom through sinning against God. But that's exactly what God wants to give you, the kingdom. But Satan offers it alternative way. But it's not truly alternative way. It's a way to be destroyed forever. At this temptation, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." We cannot serve two masters, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one is able to serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. And I always, it is very, very interesting. If God were to say, you cannot serve two masters, we would expect that He would say, you cannot serve God and Satan. But He doesn't say it like that. He says, God and wealth. That's what drives this world. You cannot serve God and wealth same time. So many church people think that they are able to do that. Do not flatter yourself. You're not that strong. And Satan's temptation will come. Luke chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. "And he led him to Jerusalem and said to him, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written here, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, and so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." You know, Satan again says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And very interestingly, even as Satan tempts Jesus, Satan now quotes the Bible. He uses Bible to tempt Jesus. And what Satan says comes from Psalm 91, verse 11 through 12. "For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against the stone." That psalm is telling God's people to completely trust God. But that psalm is not telling God's people to test God through made-up situations. God said, you will not be harmed, so why don't you throw yourself down from high place? Let's see what God will do for you. You know, there are so many, even in the churches, who test God in many such situations to see whether God would give them the things of this world. And you know what those are. So many people pray, if you do this for me, then I will do this for you. You're testing God. We must understand one thing here. Just because someone quotes the Bible, that does not mean that that person can be trusted. They twist the word of God to tempt you. The Bible cannot be interpreted according to sinful heart's desire. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 16, as also in all his letters speaking in them of these things, Peter is talking about Paul, as also in all his letters speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. The Bible must interpret the Bible itself. Bible has to tell us what Bible is saying. Otherwise, you will test God. So they will interpret in a wrong way. Say, look at this verse. It says God will make you rich. So why don't you do this, what God says? Then he says he will make you rich, and let's see what he does. Even though he never promised you that he will make you rich in this world. But because our evil desire, our evil heart, we want to hear those things. And so easily be tempted. Satan tells Jesus to throw himself down. And he says, God says that God will protect you. So throw yourself down. Satan is telling Jesus, hey, show off a little bit. Even if no one else see, no one might not see this, but you could still boast about it later. Boast about what God will do for you. Show how much God loves you. So they use the Bible to do certain things, to bring out the admirations and faith through miracles. But this is the temptation of Satan. Jesus again triumphed over temptation by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then Luke chapter 4 verse 13, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. The devil admits his defeat at this time and leaves Jesus Christ. But he's looking for other opportunities. Thus we have the story of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many things to consider. We cannot do that. All that today, but just important thing, I believe it is important. First, our Lord Jesus Christ is not just being compared to the Israelites of the Old Testament, but also to Adam. Adam too, as the Son of God, was tempted by the devil and sinned against God. And this new Adam, the second Adam, triumphs over Satan. You know, the Bible tells us that all sins fall into three categories. And this is important. I'll read to you 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, let me repeat that, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So he says, all that is in the world, and God gives you three categories, meaning that all sin falls into those three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. So here in Luke 4, Jesus is tempted in these three ways. That's why even though we see three temptations, Jesus is being tempted in all ways. Turn this stone to bread. Well, that's easy, lust of the flesh. Well, showing the glory of the worldly kingdom, offering the kingdom of this world, the lust of the eyes. You see things and you want it. Throw yourself down to show the world what you could do. Boastful pride of life. Jesus is tempted in three ways. These three ways. But you see the same thing in Genesis. Adam and Eve's temptation is the same. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. She saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh. That it was a delight to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and make one wise, the boastful pride of life, this life. And as we know, Adam and Eve, and more importantly Adam, because Eve was not representing us, if Adam did not sin and Eve just ate, and when Eve brought that fruit to Adam, and if Adam just slapped him and said, I'm not eating that, then no one will be fallen in sin, because only Adam was representing us. But just like every stupid husband like myself, Adam had to listen to that wife and ate that fruit. That's why we all fell in sin. Yes. Adam, son of God, he sinned. And Israel, son of God, they sinned. But here in Luke chapter 4, the true son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, triumphs over all temptations. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He understands what we go through when we are tempted. Because Jesus was tempted in every way. Meaning he was tempted in these three categories because all sins fall into these three categories. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Our Lord Jesus Christ triumphs all temptation with the Word of God, and that's really important. How did Jesus triumph over the temptation? He recites the Word of God. And if that's how he did it, how can we triumph over the temptation that we face? Obviously, answer is through the Word. So it is very important to memorize these words so that it will be in you, so that God could bring that out to your memory, so that you could recite, so that you could triumph. And it's not just magical word, but as Holy Spirit brings that out into your memory, He gives also the understanding and faith, and you will realize the reality that those words are saying to you. And you go, wait a minute, if that's true, then what you're tempting me with is false. So I could reject it. But I gotta know the word. We must do the same. In order for us to do the same, though, we must know His Word. God cannot magically just make you remember His Word when you don't know, when you never read it, when you never put it into your memory. Christianity is not magic. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, just like Jesus Christ in our passage, temptation comes to us also. Oh boy, does it come. All the time. And sufferings also come with them. But as temptation come to you and sufferings with them, do not misunderstand the situation. It's not that God abandoned you. It's not that God does not love you anymore. Look at Jesus Christ. Even though He was full of the Holy Spirit, He was still tempted, still faced the sufferings. It's the same with us. So first thing to remember is that, you know, why this happening to me? Why does God allow this? Well, He allows it because He loves you. He wants you to be like Christ. That is why. So when suffering and temptation comes, don't say that, oh, is God, He doesn't love me anymore? We cannot question like the Old Testament Israelites. When there was no water, these guys were tempted and say, Exodus 17 verse 7b, is the Lord among us or not? If God is with us and you say you're going to be with us, then why no water? That's what they're saying. Don't say that. Because you know better. Just because you go through that suffering doesn't mean God is not with you. But He wants you to have the opportunity to show that you are like Christ. That you will show that victory that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for you. To show that His victory is your victory. Oh yeah, He will provide many opportunities. Of course, many times you're going to fail. But He will continue to provide that opportunities for you. Don't question. See, Satan will come to you and say things like, if you are a Christian, or like Christ, if you are a son of God, then why all these sufferings and hunger? Why the persecution? He will ask that question just like how he asked Jesus. If you are Son of God, if God loves you, if God is in control, why then all these sufferings and persecutions and difficult times? Oh, and he will continue to tempt you. Oh, you know, all this language, all this talk about heaven. Well, the heaven is for later. You don't even know what heaven is like. What is important is here and now. And you're thinking to yourself sometimes, you go, yeah. Why is our God so great when He cannot even take care of me here and now? Even though God promised you heaven and He will make you glorious Son of God, and He already has done that. Your whole focus is here and now. And that's Satan's temptation. Because God is not about here and now. He's about eternity. He's about how you're going to be forever. Not how well you're fed or how you're going to be here on earth. But that doesn't mean He doesn't care. He does. But that's not the ultimate purpose that He has for you. It's okay. Our purpose is not to be healthy in this world. Our purpose is not to be wealthy in this world. It's okay to be sick. But if I am to be sick forever in eternity, that's a serious problem. And the suffering comes so that we could be like Christ. That we could participate in His glorious life of suffering and death. That's why Paul said, I welcome suffering. Because he understands what that means. Satan will say, no, here and now is more important. Just worship me. Just follow me. You don't have to listen to God. I will give you this world. Do not listen to him. We must remember that we are the recipients of the salvation of our God. Just like Jesus, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we are the sons of God, so we are led by the Holy Spirit as we live our lives here. Even when we are tempted by the devil, we are led by the Holy Spirit, not just Jesus Christ, but that is our reality. And we must remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to men. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can endure. So if temptation and the persecution and the suffering seems so great, then rejoice. That means that God has made you grow in faith so that you could endure that much. Rejoice. And it is common to all men. Sins are in those three categories. Brothers and sisters, we must believe. Whenever we are tempted, we must believe that it is something that we are able to overcome. Why? Because Jesus has already overcame for us in our places. Think about it. Not only His victory is my victory, but God says that He will not be tempted. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we could bear. Meaning that every temptation, we are able to overcome it. And you have to believe this. Brothers and sisters, I beg you, and I beg to myself too, do not give in so easily. Man, we put up no fight whatsoever. Temptation comes and you go, okay, take me. Ay, ay. God designed it such a way that we are able to witness the victory that our Lord has accomplished for us. We have to believe. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be tempted with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And just like Jesus Christ, to us, the kingdom is promised. Luke chapter 22, verse 29 through 30, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and do not forget our victory. What is our victory? Our victory is obedience. It's not going out and crushing Satan. Oh, Jesus already did that. He already did that. He already destroyed the last enemy, which was death. And all the authority has been given to Christ, meaning that Satan is completely defeated, but not visibly consummated. We cannot see him defeated with our physical eyes, not yet. That day is coming. So our victory is not going out and crushing Satan. No, our victory is obedience. Oh, this is so important. Obedience. And lastly, James chapter 4, verse 7, and we'll end with this. Submit therefore to God, meaning obey God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God's promise. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He lingers and he continues to tempt you because you don't resist him. Because if you resist him, God's promise is that he will leave. Trust God. Believe in his word. You know, I say devil, but I need to be careful because I don't want to I don't want any of you to think that because I say devil will tempt all of you, that he's somewhat like God, like omnipresent. No, he's not. He could be at one place at one time. He cannot be everywhere at one time. So probability of Satan visiting us individually, that's very low. He will probably send his follower, you know, the evil spirit, you know, that guy will come. Because I don't think he will have time for little people like us. But nevertheless, it is temptation from Satan. And it is under his authority, his followers, the evil spirits, tempt us. Resist the devil. Resist him. And he will flee. Remember, the victory of Jesus Christ is our victory. Even as we give into the temptation, yes, you will find yourself giving into temptation so many times in your life, but remember, even as you do that, even as you give into that temptation, the victory of Jesus Christ is still yours. It is still ours. Of course, we must not use this knowledge as our license to sin more. And you will not do that if you truly understand the gospel, because now we live out of gratitude, out of love for Christ. Amazing grace. So whenever temptation comes, you got to remember and say to yourself, I got this. Yeah. We got this. Because of what Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. It's not great temptation that we cannot bear. And God will always provide escape. And we already have victory over it that Jesus Christ has accomplished. And if I resist the devil, he will flee. How can then it go wrong? But it does it so many times because we do not believe, we do not trust God. And because we want to sin. This is why it is so important that we grow in the Word. So that we'll be sanctified. You could describe sanctification in so many ways, but it's about washing away your sins. Less sin. So, whenever we sin, let us repent. And we try again. Always believing. And when you sin, you come back. Come back to Luke 7 and see your Lord triumphing over those sins in your place. And you tell yourself, that victory is my victory. I'll try again. And one day, you will find yourself never to sin again. And no one will doubt that Jesus' victory is yours then. Forever. You will never sin. Let's pray.